This is the time of the year when the great accuracy of God's word needs to be studied regarding the death, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. About 85% or more of what people believe regarding the last week of Jesus' life is erroneous, if the Bible's right. Things that we as Christians have just accepted by word of mouth from one generation to another and thought was accurate on God's word and was really true is not true if the word of God is right. Regarding the subject that I'm going to be working with you tonight from God's word, I too believe for many, many years, and you can't believe beyond what you're taught. And I was taught this from the time I was a little boy all the way through my theological seminaries, that when Jesus Christ died, two men, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, took him and they buried him. Tonight we go to God's word again to find out exactly what it teaches regarding this subject, because if it is true that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took Jesus down from the cross and they buried him, then the word of God contradicts itself and it does not fit. And if it's God's word class, it has to fit. It has to work. Now I'm sure all of you who are knowledgeable in this field, who know the answer before I teach it, will be again blessed as I get into the word. Because no matter how many times you go over something in God's word, it'll always bless God's people because it deepens it and it shows the greatness of it. In Matthew 27, we begin now, and specifically tonight, the burial of Jesus, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus records, with verse 57. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. The word even has a twofold usage in God's word, and from context, you must always recognize which one of the two it is. The word even is used between 3 p.m. and sundown, and it's also used regarding, even is used regarding the period after sundown, before nightfall. The word rich man in verse 57. The word rich man means a man abounding in wealth. He was just not a man with wealth. He was a man who was abounding in wealth. That's the word that's used. Who also himself was Jesus' disciple. You're going to be seeing in God's word here as we work it that he was just not a Jesus disciple, a follower, because the multitudes followed, but he was a disciple by conviction, by staying his mind and making a decision that Jesus Christ was absolutely right. Verse 58, he, Joseph of Arimathea, went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. Joseph of Arimathea was a Jew by religion. Pilate was a Gentile. Therefore, for Joseph of Arimathea, a Jew by religion, to beg the body of a Gentile would mean that Joseph of Arimathea would be totally unclean. He couldn't partake of the Passover or be engaged in any of the religious services which were imminent at that moment that year, the Passover namely. You know, if you keep your finger here and look at the Gospel of John, chapter 18, and in verse 28, it says, Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early, and they themselves, the Jewish religious leaders, they themselves went not into Pilate's or Caiaphas' judgment hall. Why? Lest they should be, what? For that they might eat the Passover. You see, if they would have defiled themselves with this criminal, would have walked into the Gentile area, they would have been contaminated and could not have partaken of the Passover and the activities that were going on. So it's tremendous in verse 58 when you see that he went to Pilate and he begged the body. He said, Pilate, please allow me to take this body. He knew he'd be contaminated, but he made that decision because he was a disciple, one who had absolutely renewed his mind and told himself that what Jesus said was true. And I just know from God's word that Joseph of Arimathea was the only one who believed that he would rise in 3 days' time. He was that convinced. That's why he went to Pilate and he begged for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Pilate commanded that the body be given to him, to Joseph. Verse 59. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth. It says Joseph took the body and he, Joseph, wrapped it. Joseph did it. Nicodemus is not mentioned at all. Joseph of Arimathea wrapped the body. The word wrapped simply means he rolled it up. The best illustration that I can give you, which will cement this in your mind, is like you would take a sheet and just wrap this around the dead body. That's the word wrapped it. The word linen, in verse 59, linen cloth, this word you really have to be careful with, because this word is the word sindone, spelled S-I-N-D-O-N. This is the Greek word used, sindone. The word sindone does not mean the regular grave clothes wrappings. You know, this is also used in Mark chapter 14, if you'll look at it. Keep your finger in Matthew. In Mark 14, and in verse 51, and there followed him a certain young man having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. The word linen cloth in Mark 14:51 is the word sindone. He just had it wrapped around himself. Maybe like you think of a bathrobe or something. Same word, back to Matthew. Joseph took the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth. The words had taken in verse 59 are in the active voice, which literally tells me that Joseph himself personally took the body. He himself did it. He was a very wealthy man, remember? He had servants. He had all kinds of workers. But when it came to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, none of the servants took him. None of his employees. He himself personally took the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a tremendous thing. He wrapped it in a sin dome. Verse 60. And laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and did what? Departed. Now, this is a tremendous verse here. He laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn. This was a memorial sepulcher. Joseph of Arimathea specifically, on his own initiative, had this particular tomb or sepulcher hewn out of the rock for one specific purpose only, and that is for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the word had hewn, H-A-D, H-E-W-N, is in the passive voice indicating that Joseph had it hewn out by someone else. He didn't do it himself. He did it, had his employees, his workers, to specially hew it out. It was a special job. It's a special sepulcher, like a memorial sepulcher. What do you call these things they put above the ground? Mausoleum. This was a specially hewed out sepulcher like a mausoleum, but it was hewn out in the stones on the hillside very near to where the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher. He himself did not do this. Again, it's in the essence of he had his employees, his workers, to roll this stone. And the stone was not rolled like this to the door of the sepulcher. They didn't roll it like this and close the door of the sepulcher. They rolled it like this and put it on top. That's how it was done. All the pictures you've ever seen of the sepulcher, they show the stone rolled like this. In outside of Jerusalem, there where they take you to show you this, they've even got a stone trough in front of it where it rolled in like this. Didn't do that at all. It was rolled like this and placed over the top of the sepulcher. That's the word. You see, later on, at the time of the resurrection, Joseph didn't get back to uncase the sepulcher. The angels came down and they rolled it away and they sat on it, it says. And the words rolled away that are used at the time of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's tremendous. I wasn't going to teach you this, but it just flips up in my mind, so I guess good for us. Let's say this teaching platform here represented the sepulcher. The stone was on it like this. Now, if the angels rolled it away this far, it would be off the sepulcher, right? But that's not the word that's used. When they rolled it away, they rolled it away. Boy, that's something. Because had there just been a little bit of dew, they could have just rolled it over here. But when God moved in the resurrection and those angels rolled the stone away, they really rolled it away. Now, Nicodemus had his men Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph of Arimathea had his men to hew this out. Now, you couldn't have hewn it out in a day's time. But remember, if you know the Word of God, sometime before this, Jesus had already said he was going to do what? Die. Joseph of Arimathea believed that. He also had said he'd rise the third day. Joseph of Arimathea believed that. So he got his workmen and he said, fellas, start hammering. Let's build a place for him during that three-day period that he can be in that sepulcher. That's why that tremendous verse 60. Verse 60. And he laid it in his own new tomb, which he had his men to hew out, and he had his men to roll a what kind of a stone? It wasn't just some little old thing on top. It was a great stone that not one person was capable of moving. It took more than that. To the door or the mouth, the opening of the sepulcher, and he departed. Now, class, if you put this together so far, Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate, begged for the body. Pilate said, you can have it. He takes this body of Jesus down from the cross and he wraps it like in a sheet, takes it over, puts it in the sepulcher. How much time did that take? There was no embalming. There were no spices. There were no ceremonies connected with it. This could all be done from the time Pilate gave him permission until the time the body of Jesus Christ was laid in the sepulchre of Joseph of Arimathea. In 15 minutes it could be done, or 20. Nothing to do except wrap him. Why put spices on him? Why embalm him? Why go through all of that? Because God's going to get him up the third day. This was what Joseph had in his mind. He knew this. That's why they've never been able to put these records together. We're going to put them together if we have to bring our lunch. Because, bless your heart. Verse 61. And there was Mary who? Magdalene. And the other Mary sitting over against the what? Sepulcher. Boy. Sitting over against is in the same essence that if I said to you, Mrs. Wirwell and I and you sat in front of our fireplace, that's sitting over against. Look, here's the sepulcher. Here's the sepulcher. The entranceway is down in this way, where they put his body. The women were sitting over there against. And if I put my Bible down in here now, can you all see it? Sure you can. That's exactly what the women saw. What did they see? They saw Joseph of Arimathea bring this body along with his men that were there. They saw that he was only wrapped in a sindone, quickly taken off of the cross, brought down in, wrapped in a sindone, and placed in the sepulcher. That's what they saw. This becomes very important later on in the Word, this verse. You see, every sepulcher may be a tomb, but not every tomb is a sepulcher. A sepulcher is a memorial tomb. If a person is just buried someplace, that's a tomb. But if it's specially prepared as a memorial I forget again what you call that thing. Mausoleum type. It has the name even on the outside because we want people to remember even in death who we were. So we put the name out just in case the Lord comes in a hurry and forgot it. We want him to be sure he recognized or something. So, in verse 60 here, the word sepulcher, you must either write down or put in your mind or remember, because the two usages of two different words are used here in 60 and 61. A sepulcher, which is a memorial monument, in verse 60, is the word spelled M-N-E-M-E-I-O-N. Mnemion. The verse 61, and there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. The word sepulcher in verse 61 is the word Taphos, T-A-P-H-O-S, which is tomb. A place where someone is buried. Two entirely different words. As I said to you a few moments ago, these women sitting over against a tomb. You know, this was... other people were buried in that place. Joseph of Arimathea had this sepulcher. The women were sitting over against the tomb, against the Taphos. They were not sitting next to this one that Joseph of Arimathea had done. They were sitting over here, like sitting in a cemetery, if that gives you a better picture. Where here is the open grave, and they were sitting a distance away. At a Taphos, at another place where someone had been buried. And they observed and they watched what Joseph of Arimathea did. And of course they noted that Joseph of Arimathea did not bury him properly. Because he did not anoint him with the proper spices or wrap him with the proper grave clothes. This word disciple that we discussed a little bit earlier does not mean that he was simply a pupil or a student of Jesus, but he was a great believer, a great follower. He was not just one who took the words of Jesus sporadically, but he literally believed God's word, that even the apostles who had been followers and been so intimately associated with Jesus for 3 years didn't believe. But Joseph of Arimathea did. Keep your finger here and look at John 20. Look at verse 9. John 20, verse 9. For as yet they knew not what? That he must what? Rise again from the dead. His own apostles, whom had been with him for 3 years, they didn't know. They didn't know to the end of believing that scripture. They had heard it, but it had gone clear through. But Joseph of Arimathea believed it. That's why that record in Matthew stands par excellence. It is just fantastic. It's just beautiful. Because there was one man who really believed that what Jesus said, Jesus meant, and that what he had reported he would do, he would do. And so he built him a memorial. He had the finances, he was a man of great wealth, he had the labor, and he had especially hewn out a memorial sepulcher for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ was crucified, he went to Pilate. And you just don't walk in on the governor unless you're known. He walked into Pilate and he said, Pilate, I'd like to have the body of Jesus. And Pilate granted that request. He was a man of prestige, a man of renown, a man of respect in the echelon of governments of that day. That's the record in Matthew. Turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15. Here it begins with verse 42. And now, when the even was come, because it was the what? Preparation. That is the day before the Sabbath. The day of preparation was the 14th of Nisan. The night of the Passover, opened the feast of the Passover, which was next day, or that following sunlight day, daylight hours. And that day was a Sabbath. The word Sabbath means holy day. It's like if our Christmas comes on Wednesday, it's a holy day. If our Christmas comes on a Sunday, the celebration of Christmas takes precedent over the weekly Sunday. This day before the day of the Sabbath was the 14th of Nisan, because on the 15th is the Passover, which began at sunset. And that's why John 19 must always be understood and read in light with these great truths. John 19, in verse 31, the Jews, therefore, because it was the what? Preparation, which would be the day before the Passover, which is the 14th of Nisan, that the body should not remain upon the cross on the what? Sabbath day, which would be the 15th of Nisan. Then it tells us in a parenthesis by way of explanation, which is a figure of speech, something very important. For that Sabbath was an what? High day. It wasn't the weekly Sabbath. It was a special Sabbath because three feasts, Passover, Tabernacles, and weeks, I think, all began with a Sabbath day, a holy day, because all of these feasts lasted 7 days. The first day of the feast was a Sabbath day, and the last day was a Sabbath day. If they came on the weekly Sabbath, which would be Saturday, they would take precedent over the weekly Sabbath. Understand? If they came on Tuesday, they still would be what kind of a day? Sabbath day. We call them holidays, holy day, hala, holy day. This was an holy day. In Mark 14 now, in verse 43, that is the day before the Sabbath, verse 43. Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable what? That adds something that Matthew didn't tell us. He was an honorable what? Consular, which means he was a member of the Jewish top echelon ruling group called the consul. He was a member of the council. The word is Sanhedrin. You know, spelled S-A-N-H-E, I think, D-R-I-N. Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was composed of 70 men. These 70 ruled the religious life of all Judaism. Now, Joseph of Arimathea was one of those 70. He was a member of the council. He was in the pretty top echelon, wasn't he? Which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto whom? And craved the body of Jesus. The word craved is the same word as the word begged was in Matthew. But he came in boldly. You just don't come in boldly to a man's place unless you've got the respect of that man. But he came in boldly and he said, Pilate, I'd like to have that body of Jesus. Verse 44. And Pilate marveled. The word marveled means Pilate questioned with surprise. Marveled. If he, Jesus, were already dead. You see, it's just something. Because he just didn't expect anybody to die that rapidly. So when Joseph of Arimathea comes flying in and he says, Hey, Pilate, may I have the body of Jesus? Pilate said, Was he dead? He said, Yes, he's dead. And Pilate marveled. He marveled that he was already dead. But he still checked Joseph of Arimathea out because he called the centurion, the one who had been in charge of the execution, and he asked him, the centurion, whether he had been any while dead. And when, verse 45, he knew, and Pilate knew, from the centurion that Jesus was dead, he gave the body to Joseph of Arimathea. You know, in the 14th chapter here in Mark, in that verse 50, he's talking to his disciples, his apostles, and it says, I was daily with you in the temple teaching. Then verse 50, and they all forsook him, and what? That word all cannot mean all without exception, but it must be all without distinction, because I know one man who did not forsake him and flee, and that's Joseph of Arimathea. Verse 46, and he, Joseph of Arimathea, bought fine linen, not any second-rate stuff, he bought the best. The word bought means he deliberately purchased with a view in mind of who he's going to put in it. He bought fine linen and took him down, Jesus, and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher which was hewn out of a rock, and he rolled a stone under the door of the what? Same truths as we had in Matthew. And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph beheld where he was what? Again, the women saw it, and when they saw it, of course, they saw that he was just wrapped in a beautiful linen cloth, but not properly buried according to Jewish law, of the spices and the treatments to the body and the grave clothes. But they saw all this while Joseph of Arimathea laid him in that sepulcher which he had hewn. Now that's all there is in the Gospel of Mark. Now we go to Luke. Luke chapter 23. Boy, isn't this tremendous that you can see all of this. Again, in Mark, you had no record of Nicodemus. You have no record of spices being used or special ointments for the body. You have no record of any grave clothes being put on him. And only Joseph of Arimathea is mentioned. In Luke 23, and in verse 50, and behold, there was a man named Joseph, a consular. And he was a good man, and what? The word good man is added here beyond what we had previously in Matthew or Mark. And that means one worthy to be admired. Worthy to be admired. One worthy to be looked up to. Verse 51. The same Joseph of Arimathea had not consented to the counsel and the deed of them. There may have been 69 in favor of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, but one of the members of the Sanhedrin, Joseph of Arimathea, didn't go along with them. He didn't vote for Jesus Christ's death. He didn't consent. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. He really was a convinced believer. Verse 52. This man went unto Pilate, begged the body of Jesus. Verse 53. And he took it down, wrapped it in linen, laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was what? And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on, or it got close to the Sabbath. Verse 55. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, with Jesus from Galilee, followed after and beheld the sepulchre, and here, watch it, and how, H-O-W, how his body was what? They saw that he was not properly prepared according to Jewish custom. No spices, no ointment, no grave clothes. They saw all of this. You know, in the Gospel of Mark, go back there to chapter 15 of Mark. Look at verse 40. There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the less, and of Joseph, and of Salome. Verse 41. Who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. Going back to the Gospel of Luke, and in verse 56 of this 23rd chapter, we read, and they who? The women returned and did what? Prepared spices and ointments. Why do you think they returned to prepare spices and ointments? Because they had envisioned, they had seen that he had not been buried how? Properly. They had sat there, watched Joseph of Arimathea do this thing. Then they went back, and they prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. We read a little while ago that nobody believed. They all forsook him. They didn't believe he'd rise the third day. Therefore, did they have anything ready for the burial? No. Nothing had been prepared. He had told them he was going to die, but they didn't believe it. So there was nothing prepared. And Joseph of Arimathea wrapped him, put him in there because the day of preparation was about over with and the Passover started. The women went back to Jerusalem and prepared spices and what? Now we have read one thing into that you got to get out of your mind. That they went back that day and prepared the spices and ointments. I do not believe it. Because to prepare and compound this which is required for a Jewish burial, which you can read about in a Jewish encyclopedia, you just don't walk down to the corner drugstore and buy 50 pounds. That's right. It was something they had to go buy, then they had to put it together, and this could not be done that day because the Passover started at sunset. They did this on the day after the Sabbath. Before the weekly Sabbath. Which means, in my mind, they did it on Friday. Jesus Christ was crucified on Wednesday. Therefore, Thursday was the high day, which was a what? Sabbath. On Friday, they worked all of this stuff together. They couldn't come that day or the day following with it because of the feast requirement. Then there came another Sabbath day, which was the weekly Sabbath. So the first opportunity the women would have would be on what we refer to as Easter Sunday. You see how this is all going to put together when you work this thing? That's why. Verse 56 says, they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the what? Now the Gospel of John. This again is just fantastic. Chapter 19, verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of whom, but secretly for fear of what, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. Here in essence, in verse 38, you have the record of what's told us in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Only it's not in as great a detail. But there is a record in here that is in detail. In verse 38, that you must understand. Secretly for fear of the Jews. We believe and have been taught that he was a disciple of Jesus secretly because he was afraid of the Jews. I do not believe this. The word secretly is the word crypto, K-R-U-P-T-O, crypto, which is transliterated into English as crypt, a burial place. And during the period of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, Joseph of Arimathea was secreted away, Where was he? In the crypt, in the sepulcher that he had prepared for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was there, secreted away for fear of what? Was he afraid of being killed? No, but he was afraid that they might kill him before he had the chance to bury the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he was secreted away. He didn't care what happened to him after he had had the privilege of wrapping the body of the Lord Jesus and putting him in the sepulcher. So all the while the crucifixion was on, he was hiding in that little old crypt his and watching it all go on. And when it went on over there, as soon as he saw Jesus was dead, he hot-footed it over to Pilate. He said, Pilate, give me the body. Give me the body, Pilate. Pilate said, okay. Gave him the body. He goes over, gets the body, brings it in. He was not afraid to die, but he wanted to be sure that nobody killed him until after he had buried the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, boy. He wasn't hiding because he's scared. If he was scared, he wouldn't have gone to Pilate. He just didn't want anybody to kill him before he had the joy of placing the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in that special memorial sepulcher which he had hewn out of the rock for the body of the Lord Jesus. That's why he was secreted away. Boy, verse 39. And there came also what? Nicodemus. Does it say that he came with Joseph of Arimathea? No, it just says there came also what? And Nicodemus didn't know a thing that had happened. He hadn't seen Joseph of Arimathea going to Pilate. He hadn't seen Joseph of Arimathea do all this stuff. He hadn't helped him. But after Joseph of Arimathea had wrapped the body of Jesus, rolled the stone over, the women returned to prepare spices and ointments, Joseph of Arimathea left, and there came Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night. And this documents it from John 3 and John 7, where this Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, came by night. And Jesus talked to him about the new birth Nicodemus couldn't quite understand. But this is that Nicodemus. And when Nicodemus came, he brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds what? Here was a man who previously had come to Jesus by night, asking, Master, what must a man do to be saved? Here was a man who anticipated the death of the Lord Jesus Christ because he had already prepared the spices and the ointments, and it amounted to 100 pounds weight. Now, when you relate this to what the women went back to do, you can see why it couldn't all be done by the women before the Passover would start. But Nicodemus is a wonderful man. To the end that he anticipated, he was a ruler of the Jews. And he anticipated this opportunity. He came. He brought the mixture of myrrh and aloes. Then it says, verse 40, then took they the body of Jesus. The word they is the word he in the Aramaic. They have related the word they to Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. No. Joseph of Arimathea had completed his work. He had gone away. Then Nicodemus came, brought the embalming material, and Then took he the body of Jesus. And wound it in linen clothes with the spices, here it is, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. The word wound, W-O-U-N-D, is wrapped. Linen clothes is not sindone. It's an entirely different word. It is the word othonione, O-T-H. O-N-I-O-N. It's grave clothes. Nicodemus came with the embalming material. And coming with that, he would have proper grave clothes. Joseph of Arimathea had simply wrapped him in a sindone, a sheet-like linen type of thing. But when Nicodemus comes, he brings the aloes, the myrrh, all the ointments, about 100-pound weight, and he brings the special wrappings, grave clothes wrappings like this in width. And he wound him, verse 41. Well, maybe we better look at John 20, verse 5 first here before I read you 41. Because later when John, the apostle, and Peter come down, went on the day of the resurrection appearance of the Lord Jesus, Easter Sunday, verse 5, he, John, stooping down, and when he looked in the sepulchre, he saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. The word linen clothes is not sindone, but the word othonion. So on the day of the resurrection, when John came there and he looked in, he didn't just see what Joseph of Arimathea had wrapped him. He didn't see that, but he saw the special wrappings. Verse 6 says, Simon Peter, following him, went into the sepulchre and seeing what? The linen clothes lie in the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Again, it's not the word sindone. It's what they saw were the grave wrappings, the burial wrappings. And what a great revelation. That's why it said John and Peter believed. When they walked in on that place on what we refer to as Easter Sunday morning, there laid these wrappings. The napkin which was ordinarily placed over the face, which they did not wrap. They wrapped it here and then around here and all the way to the bottom of the toes. They laid a napkin over the face like this. And when John and Peter entered the sepulchre on Easter Sunday morning, there wasn't anybody in there. The grave clothes were there. The napkin was folded and laid up beautifully in a little old niche in the corner of the sepulchre. The wrappings were perfect, but no body inside. And ladies and gentlemen, no man of 200 pounds gets up through a little hole that big without disturbing the wrapping, unless God raised him. Glory. Boy, that's what convinced Peter and John. What convinced them. And these wrappings were put on, Jesus. Not by Joseph of Arimathea, but by whom? What does the word say? Nicodemus. Sure. Look at verse 41. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, the new sepulcher, wherein was never man laid, yet laid. Verse 42. There laid they, and the word they in Hebrew again, Aramaic, is he. There laid he, Nicodemus, Jesus, therefore, because of what? The Jews' preparation day for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. Joseph of Arimathea comes, does what we read in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Then the record in John, Nicodemus, he takes that body of Jesus out from where it is, and he prepares it with the, puts the myrrh, the aloes, the anointment on it, grave, use the grave clothes, wraps it, and puts it right back in the tomb, the sepulcher. There laid he Jesus, therefore, because of the Jewish preparation. Because. The word because is the word, Greek word, dia, dia. Which means that Nicodemus did it quickly. Why that word is used, that preposition, because, dia, dia. Why? Because sunset was upon him. That's why it's the word because. Without any contradiction or without any error. That's why the word of God is the will of God. It fits like a hand in a glove. That's the greatness of this wonderful record. And how grateful I am tonight that a man like Joseph of Arimathea wasn't afraid to die, but boy, he secreted himself away just to make sure that nobody touched him under any condition until he had done what he felt he wanted to do for Jesus Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, he was not a man who had been with Jesus for 3 years, like Peter and Andrew and James and John. But he was convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that what Jesus had said was going to happen was going to happen. And he just got ready for it. That man I stand in great amazement of. Like other men in the scriptures, when God said something, they believed. Mary believed. Whenever God's word speaks, you and I have only one obligation. We don't argue. We don't try to reason it out. We just act. For it's God's wonderful, matchless word. When he said, whosoever confesses him with his mouth, believe God raised him from the dead, he's saved, right? So if people want to get saved, they got to do what? Confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus, believe God raised him from the dead, and they're saved. Don't argue about it. Just believe. The greatness of this record just blesses a man's heart.